Are you a relational bridge builder or breaker? Is your heart right now filled with anger and bitterness, or love and concern? How do Christians live like Christians in the season of division and rancor in our country? That's today. Stay with me.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy, and in this program, Chip continues his new series called What the World Needs Now. As we get going, Chip's picking it up where he left off in our previous program. He was on a pretty intense roll, talking about some of the same passionate emotions we feel, relating Jesus' teaching about internal attitudes of anger and resentment. He actually called them murder in God's eyes. Pretty harsh words. So even if our thoughts of payback or vengeance have never seen the light of day, in God's economy, we're as accountable as anyone. Well, open your Bible now if you have one to Matthew chapter 12, and let's get set for part two of Chip's message, What the World Needs Now is Humble Bridge Builders.
I got a rock here somewhere in my pocket. Wonder what I did with it. This rock represents people I've murdered. Any grudges that I have, any bitterness and resentment in my heart. And in a little while, we're going to give you a chance to really name the rock, just between you and God. Hurt feelings, ex-boss, ex-mate, current situation. And we're going to ask you to come, and only if you have done it, to drop the rock and say, I'm going to release that person of what I hope happens to them. The vengeance, the payback, the emotion. And where necessary, are you ready? It gets harder. So some of you may have this rock all next week because you're thinking, I'm not ready to do that yet. Then put it in your purse. Put it in your pocket every day. And keep carrying around this rock. And if we were better friends, I would bring you an extra rock every day. Every day that you didn't drop it, I'd just put another one in your pants, another one in your purse. Because that's what it's doing to you. Because some of you, words have come out of your mouth, and of course they deserved it, okay? We'll get to that. Of course they deserved it. And it was 90% their fault. That's the same with me. I know that. But God is going to call you and call me to go not only ask for forgiveness if necessary, but make it right whenever possible, as far as it depends on you. And what you'll recognize is that you are as much of a murderer, and I'm as much of a murderer as David or Paul or Moses. And most of us have done it with our lips, and we've done it with our heart, and there is only one hope, and it's the hope that we can come, and that the body of Christ, His death on the cross paid for our sin, and His blood was shed for us, and He has given us mercy, and He has forgiven us, and we've got what we don't deserve. And the only reason we're going to drop this rock is not because they deserve it, not because they're a good person, not because it's going to be better mental health, but we're going to drop this rock because I can't receive mercy and take what God has given to me that I don't deserve, and He's not going to pass judgment because of Jesus, so neither am I. Now, it doesn't mean you hang out with them. Doesn't mean that everything's going to be wonderful. And when you have a clear sense that you have forgiven that person, then I'm going to ask you to turn your attention and begin to thank God. If every one of the commands has this level of probing underneath of it, and the Spirit of God went all the way through this room, all the way around, and we were to seeing what's going on inside, I will tell you the cross will become very precious. And you'll be so deeply grateful that you'll walk out of this room forgiven and cleansed, and anything you've ever said, anything you've ever thought, any assassination with your lips, be clean. Well, Jesus now applies this to His audience, and He applies it because we're not done. He gives us two very quick parables. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus has just talked with the Pharisees, who externally are squeaky clean. And He says to them in verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and the fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. Now, it's not your intentions. It's not how you sing. He says, your life, your outward evidence. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? Then here's this point. For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. The good person, out of the good treasure brings forth what is good. The evil person, out of evil treasure brings forth what is evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account of every careless word that they speak. Every slander, every gossip, every little post on Facebook, every passing on, every click, every side conversation, every screaming out of a child that doesn't understand what they did wrong, every harboring resentment in your heart, and you say, well, it's her turn to apologize. I'm tired of apologizing. Every time we make up, it's always me. I'm not going there anymore. And so you just keep drifting. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. I don't know about you, that scares me to death. As it should. Well, Lord Jesus, this is hard for us to hear. I'm sure it was hard for them to hear. Help. Therefore, the parable of priorities, two applications. Very, very short parables. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Underline the line, if you're offering your gift at the altar. Times have changed, very unfortunately. If you were a follower of Yahweh, you didn't think that offering gifts was sort of, maybe I will, maybe I won't, depending how I feel. You would understand that he owns everything, and the first tenth of the produce, the first tenth of the cow, the goat, the first child has to be paid for, and you're going to bring your offering. And if you sinned, you're going to bring a sin offering. And this is the holiest moment. This offering is going to represent an act of mercy of God's covering, and that blood is going to remind you that in the future, God's going to bring a Messiah who passed. So, I mean, there's no more holy moment. Giving's required. God owns everything. I bring the very first and the very best. Few things to a Jew would be more important. The word is required. Prayer is required. Giving is required. And now if you could hear this through the ears of his first century listeners, they would be thinking, this is one of the most sacred, holy moments. This is how you get right with God. This is how you tell him that there's no idols. My first and best is to you. This is a sin offering. This is how my sins are going to be held off. And he goes, there's something more important. If there you remember, not that, look at the text. This doesn't say, if you're there and you remember you have something against your brother, you're mad, you're angry. She did that to me. He did that to me. That's not what it says. What's it say? Look at it. If you're there and you remember your brother has something against you. What if you have a tiff with someone and, you know, if it's like me, it's 98% their fault and 2% my fault. But things aren't right. And I'm kidding, okay? If you're new, I'm just messing with you a little. I usually say it's 51% their fault and 49% mine. I'm teasing still. What I want you to get is the principle. And the principle is very clear and very powerful. Right relationships trump religious requirements every time. Right relationships trump religious requirements every time. Don't go and read your Bible. Don't go and pray. Don't put something in the offering. If you have a relationship with someone, he goes, this is the priority. Nothing's more important because the kingdom of God is about love. And if it's really about love, if there's a relationship with your mate, with one of your kids, with your friends, with your ex, with someone at work, with someone in your small group, with a coworker, make it right. Because that will be the good works that they'll see and glorify your Father who's in heaven. And if they're a brother or a sister in Christ, Jesus said, I died for everyone. You have to come together. The barriers are defensiveness, blaming, excuses, pride, oh, that's not fair, or a self-righteous fulfillment of this. Oh, yes, I was going to do something, and, you know, I remembered that, you know, that time we had an argument, and in tone of voice, it was 99% your fault, but since I'm so spiritual, I want to ask you to forgive me for my 1%, please, and I hope you feel like a real heel, because you are a scumbag, but I'm following the Bible. No. This is, even in your heart, you feel like it's 10% you, 90% them. Oh, God. If it was 1% apart from your holiness, I have no hope. I humble myself before you. I completely own my 10%. And since there's large levels of denial, it's probably at least 40, but it doesn't matter. I ask you to forgive me. And I go and say, you know that altercation we had and that conversation that keeps coming around? How I handled that was wrong. Will you forgive me? I'm sorry. And you don't bring anything up about anybody else or them. Parable number two, it's the parable of urgency. Jesus says, settle the matters quickly. Your adversary, who's taking you to court, do it while you're still with him on the way, or he'll hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you'll be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you've paid the last penny. Now, he's giving it them in their cultural mindset, but circle a few words, because guess who the adversary is? Jesus is saying the adversary is God. He went through, you've heard it said, if you just don't physically kill someone, yeah, there's the Old Testament law. I say to you, if you have these emotions, hate, anger, bitterness, if you say these things, or if there's contempt, I tell you it starts with this court, the Supreme Court, and then hell. And so he brings them back. Notice your adversary quickly, underline quickly. Notice the words. He'll hand you over to the judge, circle judge. And the judge, circle judge, will hand you over to the officer, circle officer. You'll be thrown into prison. I mean, how many words? You get it? This is a crisis. This is not, you know, I probably ought to make that relationship right. You know, a lot of bad things have come out of my heart. Yeah, I'm angry, but everyone's angry. And, you know, if they lived in my situation, if they grew up in my, you know, I came from a dysfunctional family. And, you know, in light of her addictions or his addictions or my unreasonable boss, I think God understands. Memo! He doesn't understand. Murder is murder. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the earth. Make it right and make it right now. This isn't one of those services where the conversation in the car going home isn't, well, did you like the message? Of course not. Was it interesting? Yeah, for not good reasons. This is about you meeting God in the next few minutes. And you experiencing a level of forgiveness and cleansing and mercy and love. And then with all your heart purposing, you're going to give that away. The principle here is clear and powerful. Delayed obedience will result in dire consequences. There are some of you that have physical issues, relational issues, financial issues, and health issues that are related to unresolved conflict and anger and murder and words. It's judgment of God. I can't tell you who, when, where, why. What I can tell you is these kind of patterns. God has his favor on some people, and God has his love on everyone, but his love sometimes when there's patterns like this, I call it the velvet vice of discipline, and he's trying to get your attention. And I'll tell you what, you can keep dissing him, and that vice will get tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter until you come to a breaking point and say, oh God, if you're a genuine child of God, he'll take you to the mat. Because what you're doing is killing you and destroying others. I found a few quotes from a little book that I picked up recently. Bitterness always feels justified. Bitterness creates the illusion of control and power. When we embrace bitterness, we reject grace. And here's the part with no matter who this person is, remember the good and the good will grow. Isn't it interesting when we have a problem with a person, especially a family member, especially with, you know, one of our kids or a maid or an in-law or a coworker? You know, like there was at one time, they were a pretty good person. Remember that? I mean, it was way back when, before they. And what we do is then we take the incident or we take the thing and we put a little box in it and bam, that's who they are now forever and ever and ever. They were never kind. They were never helpful. They never loved you. You know that's not true. And it feeds your soul. It's like poison. If you turn to the back page, I did not want to leave you to some vague devices to, I wonder what I should do. I want to talk to you and then give you the time to learn to take some humble steps to building a bridge. I'd like you to answer these questions quietly. Do you have anger or bitterness or resentment toward anyone, past or present? And if you'll just be quiet before God, He'll bring someone to mind if you do. Have you murdered anyone in your heart or with your lips? Is there anger, bitterness, resentment? When someone's name comes up or someone talks about someone, do you have a visceral reaction that's negative? And will you confess this sin right now and receive God's full forgiveness? I'll give you time to really process this. But He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, but you have to come clean. You have to admit, you have to agree, yes, this is me. Can you think of anyone that might feel angry or resentful towards you for any reason? Will you commit to make that relationship right as far as it depends on you? And maybe you can't, but there's usually something you can do as far as it depends on you. And then as you go through this process at your own pace and have the Holy Spirit give a seal in your heart of peace that yes, you've dealt with this now, and then stop and thank God for His love and kindness and remember the great words of David who sinned greatly and murdered, "Oh Lord, You are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love to all those who ask for Your help."
Well, before we go on today, I want to give you some time right now to process what you've heard. This was heavy. In fact, it was very heavy, but depending on what you do with the truth that you just heard, today can be a game changer. A game changer for you, but also the people around you. Because if you'll let go, if you'll be willing to be honest with God and honest with yourself about who you're angry at and what's inside your heart and who you want to pay back and who you think needs to change. And would you be willing to forgive them? Would you be willing to look at them the way Jesus looked at people when they failed? Would you be willing to say, "Lord, I am so angry inside and I'm so concerned and I think if our country goes down this path, or if people believe that, or if these certain things happen," and I get all those concerns, but what God wants most for you is to be in right relationship with Him. More than any cause, more than a movement, more than anything else, would you be willing now to say, "Lord, will You please forgive me?" Would you take the sort of metaphorical rock that you hold in your hand that's blocking your heart? And would you be willing to release that and say, "Lord, I can trust You with the future and I can trust You with my future. I don't agree. I'm deeply concerned. But I want to be a part of the solution. I want to be a humble bridge builder. I want to be the kind of person that even my enemies would meet and they would respect and possibly even embrace or listen to something that I might say. Because I would treat them with dignity, because I would treat them the way Jesus would treat them if He were living in my body. And Lord, since You do, first will You forgive me? Will You cleanse me? And then today, I commit to forgive and to release those that I have anger and animosity and thoughts that I know that are wrong. God, please help me today. And Lord, I'm asking You to help it come out of my thinking, help it come out of my words, help it come out in my actions. Lord, help me be Jesus in our world to everyone, even those with whom I so deeply disagree. Amen.
Chip will be right back, but just a quick reminder, this message, Humble Bridge Builders, is from Chip's series, What the World Needs Now. He's in Matthew chapter 5, reminding us of Jesus' specific instructions during a time of deep hurt, turmoil, and political strife, a time all too familiar for us today. But what better comfort and encouragement than to hear from our Lord the priorities and counsel uppermost on His mind, for the people hearing Him firsthand then and now for us? It's our sincere hope that you'll share this message with a friend, a family member, on social media, anywhere you can communicate with others who need wisdom and the Lord's guidance during these distressing days. Now, to access free MP3s and series discounts, go to livingontheedge.org. App listeners, just tap share. Well, Chip, in our previous program, I mentioned that a couple of the principles in your series on spiritual warfare really apply to this series, too. Would you take a minute and go over those?
Absolutely, Dave. Principle number one is that there is an invisible world that is just as real as the visible world. And the second principle is that we're involved in a spiritual battle between good and evil, between God and Satan, that plays out in our real life and relationships today. And so as we see these things happening around the world, we need to understand there's two things happening. There's real issues between people, but there is an invisible battle, angelic forces that are waging war, seeking to influence the minds and the hearts of people toward division, toward hate, toward murder. And what we need to understand as followers of Christ is, when and how do we recognize spiritual warfare? What do we do when it comes, and make sure we're fighting the right battles? So in order to do that, we've created what we call spiritual warfare cards. And let me take just a minute to describe what they're like. In these cards, we'll have about six categories. So we'll talk about the general principles of spiritual warfare. We'll talk about what to do when you're actually attacked. There's very specific promises in God's Word about how to respond in spiritual warfare, understanding how the enemy works, the most common lies that he comes at you with. And then here's the thing. These are the kind of cards you want to review and have clear in your mind. I taught all my kids these basic verses, so when it happened in our home, when they were facing things at different times, it would be on the tip of their tongue. This is the kind of thing you want to provide for your friends, your family, your kids, maybe a coworker, someone at church, in an easy format where you can understand this is spiritual warfare and this is how I respond, and it's at your fingertips. We need to not just remember, but know how to live out. Greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world.
Chip, I think your reminder about reviewing these cards so the truth comes quickly to mind is really helpful. Knowing the truth about the spiritual battle going on around us gives us the power we need to see it, to stay calm, and to battle like Jesus did, with truth and grace. Well, whether they're for you or to give as a gift to help and encourage someone else, I hope you'll pick up a set or two while discounted supplies last. For all the details on our newly revised Spiritual Warfare Scripture cards, tap Special Offers on the app, give us a call at 888-333-6003, or visit us online at livingontheedge.org. I hope you'll do it today. You know, a great way to stay engaged and connected to Chip and Living on the Edge is with the Chip Ingram app. You'll get free access to all of Chip's recent messages, his message notes, and much more. And not only that, but it couldn't be easier to call or email directly from the app. Well, be with us again next time when Chip continues his series, What the World Needs Now. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.